Good evening.
Blog
You're listening
Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to Conversations with ANA. Today is Sunday, December 11th, 2022. Tonight's topic is Black men, how are you showing up? We need you back home. Tonight, we will be discussing ways how to rebuild the Black family, the Black nuclear family. To speak live on the show or make comments or ask Avon questions, please call directly into the show at 515-605-9322. Also, listeners who are listening by streaming, whether it's through their phones, desktop, laptops, iPads, etc., and want to speak directly to the host, can call the show live once again at 515-605-9322. So there's a difference. For the listeners who receive the link, you could just tap into the link just to listen. For and within the link, we have a number so you can call in live to speak to myself or to speak Avon. And tonight, basically, we are just asking questions to the men, or, you know, to women who have, you know, successfully raised men. I'm your co-host, Angela, and I'm with your wonderful host, Avon. Good evening, Avon. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Angie J. I am fine. Good evening, family. I want to ask you, Angie J, how you be? That is the question of this evening. How you be?
I'm doing fine. I am blessed to see today's my 13-year-old son's birthday. He's 12, Karan. So I am blessed to see him alive in the house with me, enjoying his birthday. I bought him a lizard. He went to the lizard his birthday. And one of the things I didn't do is do the research. So I just packaged him up, brought him home.
Oh, Lord.
And then I realized, you know, you got to have the lighting, the proper food, you know, the setting, you know, the staging and the right material. I was like, oh, my God. So that just go to show. And that's with everything in life. Before you move forward, you should research. You should do your due diligence. And I guess vet. I should have made sure that I knew more information about this pet, and that's what we do with each other. You know, a lot of times we invest in people and we don't know the details. We get mad, yeah, and we get mad when things don't work out the way we wanted to work out. So I was even contemplating about taking them back. I have 30 days, and we'll see, you know, how that goes. But I'll keep you guys updated on, did I take him back, or, you know, did I learn enough about him to feel comfortable? And as long as he's low maintenance, as long as this, you know, this it's a gecko leopard, you know. And so as long as he's low maintenance, and so far it doesn't seem like that, but we'll see. So, yeah, so that's how my day going so far.
Oh, my goodness.
Those who call in, you know, y'all could give, you know, Karan, my son, a shout out, birthday shout out. So when he listens to the podcast, he could, you know, he could be excited about that. He likes things like that anyway. Which poor kids like attention. So, yeah. So, Avon, what's going on?
Well, now, first of all,
are we ready for the show?
I'm ready. Oh, yes, I am. But first, let me get it started off. I'm going to give my man Karan a shout out. Happy birthday, Karan. And I hope you enjoyed your day and continue to enjoy your day and many, many more to you. So that's how I want to start out. And then I want to say to his mother, girl, you set yourself up. Why would you do this? Oh, my goodness. But you have Karan there to help you. Is he excited about having a gecko, or what? What's the story there?
Oh, he's excited because that's what he wanted for his birthday. You know, a lot of times as parents, we think that it's the biggest things. You know, we have to get, you know, big, expensive gifts. And it's, you know, you have to listen to your child sometime, you know, what they want, you know, so you won't overdo it for no reason. That's something that you want, but what about, you know, in that instance, you could listen to your child. You know, it could be something simple. So it saved me, you know, money. Like, you know, sometimes you buy these kids toys and they don't even play with it. So, you know, he was happy. I surprised him yesterday with it at 12. Well, this morning, 12 night. And he's excited. That's what he wants, you know?
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, this is what you're saying. That is a good point right there, because that's going to lead into what it is that we're discussing this evening. The Black man, how are you showing up? And we need you back home. This is serious business. And tonight's focus is on the great, strong, powerful, loving, honorable leader, the Black man. And Black man, I sincerely have this deep love for you. I've always appreciated you. You know, I'm not here to bash whatever, because we all have fallen off whatever. And then there are a lot of great men out here that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody's lost and not everybody's just out there. So we want to recognize you and we're going to acknowledge that. And tonight's show is about building. We're not here to tear down. Now, when you come to this platform, it's about building and coming up with solutions and being on a positive side and being of a higher vibration. So that's where we are. So that's what I hope everyone else's intentions are that come to this platform and to talk and to share. Okay, you know, and I was just listening before we came on air. And I was just listening to sports, and they were talking about Deion Sanders and how everybody's in an uproar. A lot of people are in their feelings. How could he do this? He leave Jackson State after all this hoopla, whatever. And we can touch on that because the topics and the things that we're going to speak about, it has something to do with that, because a lot of people are looking at this as a movement, and they felt that he was a starting of a movement, and a lot of people felt let down and disappointed. But we have to be careful, because you cannot put a whole movement on one person's shoulder. Everybody has to participate and take part in that. So, you know, it's easy to point fingers, and he got his money and whatever. You got to be careful, because you can't be in somebody else's pocket and telling them what they're supposed to do. Now, he may have had, you know, good intentions. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but there's a lot going on there. But the bottom line is, we got to be careful about the blame. We're all supposed to be in this together and figure out what part we can play to help this movement move along. That's the funny thing. I have a lot of sports references tonight because I enjoy sports. Like, I'm not into it. Like, I'm not going to say I sit up here that I was watching the game tonight or whatever, but I've always had an appreciation of the sports because when I was younger, I was into sports working out. I was into the bodybuilding, so I appreciated what it takes to, you know, the energy that's expelled, the commitment that you have to have. It's just a whole lot that goes into that. So I've always appreciated that. And I just love the energy of our Black men. Not that I don't want to be one, but I've always appreciated it. So in the last few years, I had the opportunity to watch some shows that came or grew to be more popular during the time of the lockdown. And Angela, you can help me out with it if I get the, you know, the definition wrong of, or explaining of what the manosphere was, because there was a big uprising in the manosphere area. And that was a platform where different men, they had shows and what have you, and they spoke about dealings with the men and concerns of men, some positive, some negative, but they had a space where they were coming together and speaking on concerns that involved them. And then some of the people that rose up on there was, one of them was Kevin Samuels. And he had transitioned back in May. He rose in popularity because he was touting the values of a high value man. And then he was not so much, I wouldn't say that he was going after women and to attack them or whatever, but then it came to a point where women were calling in to his platform and wanted to know why they weren't able to get these high value men and so on and so forth. And then the way that he would explain things to them, it came off as abrasive to a lot of women who were not used to hearing the truth or hearing it plain and straight, you know. They were not used to that. So there was a lot of mixed opinions on Kevin, what he was doing there. And then there was another show that I came, and I just loved this show. And it's called I Am Athlete. And I mean, I was blown away by that show because I had a chance at the core. First of all, let's break down the core group of this show. Is Brandon Marshall, Chad Ochocinco, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. There was different incarnations of this show in the beginning, but the main group that gelled were those four. And it was beautiful to see these four handsome, healthy, strong, articulate warriors. And it had the backdrop of sports and athleticism forefront. It was men sitting comfortably in their masculinity, speaking on things that men should be talking about. And then, unfortunately, the breakdown came, and Fred and Channing, with the addition of Ryan Clark, they went on to become the Pivots podcast. And there's two points I wanted to make on that. Is one is the significance of that breakdown. It's like, it was beautiful. I had never seen anything like that. And if you were into sports, then it was great for women. If you wanted to get an insight, like be a fly on the wall, and to see how men think and talk, you know, when they're away from us, it was just a beautiful thing to see. But apparently there was a breakdown in their communications or something. And then I suspect a little ego got in there, and then the business was not handled correctly behind the scenes. So when things started to take off, then, you know what happens. People feel a certain way, what their worth is and what's going on, but there was business and things that happened beforehand. And then we find ourselves in a lot of trouble when we don't handle that business and get it straight and make sure that we're all on the same page. And then that leads for that to come in. And then if you had noticed, I said, but I did mention, I want to just go back to a quick reference to Kevin Samuels. And one of the things that women lost their minds over, because one of the things that he would do is after do an analysis of them, he'd ask them their weight, their size, what size dress they wore, how did they rate themselves as far as looks and things like that. And, you know, and that seemed superficial. On a surface level, it seems very superficial, but he was explaining to women. I don't want to get too much into what his thoughts were, but that was very important. And the point that he was bringing up is that when you're trying to deal with these quote-unquote high-value men that, you know, they don't need your money, they don't need your support, or they're not worried about your education and things like that. They're interested in how you look and what you bring to the table in terms of being there for them. And, you know, women got very upset about that. And then I wanted to go back to that point to bring this point up. And if you notice, and what I was saying when I was describing these beautiful men, they're healthy, they're strong, they're powerful and sexy. But the thing is, on a level, it can be. If that's all you think about on a mundane level, that's all you're about, is looks and what have you, is very shallow, it's very surface. But on a higher order of thinking, it's when you're healthy, the thing is, what it is, it's a signifier. What it does, it shows other people how you take care of yourself. And that indicator would be, well, they see that you're seriously, you're, what is this word I'm looking for? It escapes me now. But it's a commitment, and that you're on it and you will stick to it. And then people will see that, well, if this is how you do and you take yourself seriously and what have you, it shows that you might be able to take care of someone else, that you're concerned and you will be able to help somebody else's condition out and help them. So that on a higher level, that's what it indicates. Because when you think about it, when you're healthy through diet and exercise and you're tapping in, your mind, body, and spirit come into alignment, you're very powerful and you become in tune with nature and your creator. Your power continues to expand and grow, and energetically as well. If you can imagine what that looks like, imagine what that looks like to someone who it is not, who is not that. Think about that. That can be very intimidating. And when a person feels intimidated, they feel the need to control that within you and to control others. So I just want that for you to put that in, in the back of your mind. And then another person that came across my radar like gangbusters was my man, Kwame Brown. I love me some Kwame. It's just that it's everywhere you turn, it seemed like somebody has something negative to say about him. But guess what? He'd check every one of them every single time, but he checked them with logic and facts. And every now and again, he would give them what they've been begging for. And so I appreciated that. And I like Kwame because he is comfortable in his masculinity, and he's very masculine in it, and he wears that well. So I happened to be watching an interview of Kwame and Eton Thomas, and they were former teammates with the Washington Wizards. And so it was Eton Thomas's show, and it's called The Rematch. And it was very inspirational, and that was the inspiration for this show that we have going on here tonight. And, you know, and one of the things when they first said, because this, I think, was their second interview, and one thing they had commented on is that folks from the audience had said they love the way that they disagree. I said, wow, that is something. And you want to look into it. It's just that the bigger picture was you don't have to agree with everything that someone says, but be respectful and open enough to listen to them and to see what it is that they're talking about. Because Kwame said to him, he said that was easy to do because he respected Eton for who he was, and he was a cool person, and there was no reason for him to, you know, go against or discount what he says. He said it made him stronger, and even in his own positions, when he was able to pull out of what Eton was saying and, you know, apply it to his own thoughts, whatever. So I thought that was a beautiful thing. And Kwame had a lot of great points that he spoke about, and I want to go over some of them because I want to set this up, and this is what points that we can talk on. He said one of the things he was talking about, we have a disrespectful media, and that set the environment for a very disrespectful culture. He had brought up a point of how this young black man, this young black teenager, he said, who hasn't proven anything in life as yet, felt comfortable enough to walk up to Cam Newton and disrespect him. I know a lot of the fellas out here might remember this. I think this happened, about a year or 2 years ago. And the young fella came up to a challenge. It was challenging to him. It was very disrespectful because this was at a camp. that he was fortunate to go to, and Cam Newton had proven himself in a league that is racist and, you know, that didn't think that black players had the smarts enough to do anything, and then he was allowed to play in a position of what, a quarterback, and you know, and that, you know, we're at a time where people didn't think that we could do things, like we were smart enough like that. So he had proved himself, and then this young man felt comfortable enough to do this, and then he used the example. He said, if he said in his day, a Cam Newton would have slapped him to the ground if he dared to try that. He said, because his mother would have taken him to that camp under the impression he was going to learn from men. And if he disrespected men like that, his mother would have given them authority to correct him. Now think about it. This is back in time where, you know, we were working together, and we don't seem to be in that space as yet. And then he said, and then there was another incident. He was speaking about this disrespectful culture. He was saying that he and Eitan had been speaking on Stephen A. And then in an incident that involved Jamel Harris, she had inserted herself into the conversation. And he and Kwame said she should stay out of it and mind her business. And it's almost saying like, well, no, but I know Jamel, and she said a lot of things that went against what's going on here. And she was, and Kwame said, no, she doesn't. And then he went on to explain, I'm not going to do everything, but I want to give you the highlights. And then if you want to, like you said, later on, you can visit this interview. It's called Rematch from Eitan Thomas, and it was talking about Kwame that you didn't know when, you know, and it was originally aired a year ago, but a lot of things that he was speaking about a year ago is still relevant today. So he said, you know, he does not take his marching orders from a woman, and these days men are afraid to speak up to women. And he used an example of, you know, he said back in the day, before other women, you see women go into a room full of men, said before she could get in that door, other women would stop her and say, where are you going? There's a room full of men in there talking. You get out of there. You don't go there. So that would stop even before the men had to deal with that. And then he said, and vice versa, on the other hand, when he would enter a room full of women, he was told to speak quickly, where the food was, and where he needed to go. And his philosophy overall on that was, he said, basically to avoid the conflict between men and women is we need to stay out of each other's business. And then he's another point that he made, and this is very sad and hurtful, but we see it and we know it's true. He said, we are raising a nation of bastardized children. He said, we want people to respect them when we don't even respect them. And you need to think about that. He's right. Because the thing, where is the disrespect? First of all, why are we having these children out of wedlock? You're setting them up for problems and failures. There's a lot going on. And then it's like you're not committed to each other. There's so many things I'm not going to go into. We can discuss that later. But that was another point that he had brought up. And then he says, you need to get back to basics as far as economics. He said, get back to skills, the teaching, men several skills or whatever, so that they're not trapped by company policy, and the company policy can't control them and how they move. He said, we created a society which allowed our upbringing to be pushed to the back burner. And just overall, and the things that we can see in the news today, what Angela and I, we were talking about that, about the father that was killed by his two sons and two nephews. Where is the breakdown so bad that kids feel comfortable that, first of all, they can talk to adults any type of way, that they can put their hands on them, and then to go even further and kill them? And then you hear about the mother that was killed by her son, then he went on to buy VR goggles. The thing is, now that might have been a Caucasian child. However, it's still the climate. And then this thing, you know, that we have going on here, we follow in wrong things, things that we don't need to be following in. So these are just some of the points that he brought up. He brought up many more. It was a great conversation, but I just wanted to share those things so we have some talking points. So, you know, I just want to start with that. So, Angela, you have any thoughts on that? Did you want to share before we go to the telephone lines?
On which part? Because you brought up a couple of things. You know, I would like to hear from most, basically, you know, the chat is lit up, obviously, you know. So before I go address things in chat, we would like to go, I would say, suggest that we go to the lines and maybe someone in the line will, you know, discuss, you go over it. But one of the things I know that I just want to repeat for those who just came in, or those who maybe just started listening, good evening once again. Tonight's topic is Black Men, How Are You Showing Up? We Need You Back Home. So we'll be discussing ways on how to rebuild the Black family. Now, I've been getting a couple of requests, and I want you guys to, you know, the men that's on the line, or even the woman that been given advice on how to raise their sons. Because you mentioned something. See, we're talking about the Black men, and we do need them. But now we have a generation, in addition to that, we have children, right? Boys coming up, right? And, correct. You know, like, and they're killing themselves. They are, you know, they're getting into all these kind of troubles. But where is it coming from? You know, and even though, you know, Black families are broken up, we still have Black men in the community. So my question, well, the chat question was tips, you know, tips on what should, you know, single Black women teach their sons while raising them, okay? And what ways that, you know, the women who are raising single children, you know, boys, what can they teach their son to make them into men? Like, you know, the advice that they can give them to help them understand. You know, I was watching a Damon Dash interview, right, when he was talking about Jay-Z. I just watched a little bit, and he talked about his mother and his father. And he said one thing, his mother and his father had different personalities, and he picked up on it. He was explaining how, you know, there's things that each of them said to shape him into the man that they are, you know. So that's, you know, I'm trying to put together a list of advice, you know, a list of advice, and to ask Black men, you know, what are, we just answer, you know, some tips, you know, what are, you know, some of the tips that women can instill in their boys to help them become, you know, productive. Because even though we can say what happened, it did happen, slavery, all kinds of issues, we are here today, you know, and Black men are facing a lot of challenges in the community. So there's a lot of questions that I've been asked to ask the listening audience. So we can begin by that, or one that I found more interesting. And I don't mean to be all over the place, and if I am, Avon, please interject. One that I found out interesting is that a lot of times you hear, I just want to know, and, you know, the chat want to know, a lot of Black men say that, you know, they can't find a job, or they give Black women more opportunity, which I do agree, because this is their kingdom, right? So Black men this is not their kingdom, so they cannot do but so much, because, you know, when you're in someone else's kingdom, you are ruled by it. So they appear to give Black women more opportunities, right? You hear that all the time. They, you know, and it makes men sometimes frustrated, black men frustrated, that black women seem to have more opportunities. They lean towards the system to help them, to support them. So the question that came in mind was, should black women financially support black men since men of no color is not giving black men jobs or opportunities? You know, how could black women show up? How could black women show up in that? So that would be one of my questions, Avon, for that.
Okay, well, then let's get to it. The best way to find out is to talk to black men. So black men, I hope you're out there and to weigh in and give the balance to this conversation. And we want to hear from you. We need you to show up and to speak up, because when you don't voice things, then people speak for you. So this is the opportunity. We want to hear from you. You tell us what you think. Okay, so then let's go to the line and let's see what's going on. Let's hear what other folks are saying, and then you can ask the our callers these questions. Okay, so we're going to start with caller with the last four numbers, 9944, to state your name and where you're calling from, and please share. Again, that's caller 9944.
All right. My name is Shalima, calling from Newcastle, Delaware. Funny that I got the first one the last time I was on. But at any rate, shout out to Quran, another brother that will have to help right the ship. I'm not sure there was much to speak on, so I'm not sure exactly which point that you want me to address, so that way I can more precisely. I know that there's other people that want to speak, so I'll hit whatever point that you would like me to hit. I do appreciate the fact that every time I'm on this platform, I feel a balance. So if you have a specific point, then I can address that. I also wanted to highlight a couple of things, though. The Brother Brown that you spoke of, see, not all of us, just so that the world will know, our world specifically, I never heard of that person. I'm not mad nor jealous of that person, but never heard of the Brown, because, you see, a lot of what we get is shaped by those that have been so-called, quote, successful in this world. And that is good. They have things, because if they got there, probably something they knew how to navigate. But our values have been shaped by things that don't necessarily benefit us as a community. So I don't, not all of us follow sports or celebrities. If just so FYI, you would be shocked. And the other thing is, as far as black men, yes, some, because when you listen to what was on the radio, they were saying they were pushing Stacey Abrams too much, for example. But I think the bulk of black men, it's not that they're pushing the black woman. It's that they are excluded, like, he can't get through the hoop. I'm not saying it's true or false, but they put it tighter on him. It's just like some cultures, they're glad if their woman gets pushed as long as they get pushed too. See, in our case, if we are prevented, then it could give the impression to our women that we are not trying as hard. What's your problem? That kind of thing. So it's not so much that she's getting it, it's that they, there's all kind of evidence that would support that, and I happen to be one who does. I'm not sure which point exactly. What I would suggest, and there are many minds in our community, I say nothing will work until we go back to our original spiritual selves that sustained us through very difficult times when we first came here. I am not advocating a particular religion. That's always going to be mine. I'm sure others will say other things. But if that is not at the root of whatever solution, we will never be successful. So what does that look like? Righteousness. That is a fundamental. Without righteousness, any kingdom will fall. So it has to be love at the root, righteousness, hard work, all of the above. And the final point, and then I'll give up the floor because I'm not sure which one. I don't know that I completely agree with separation of you go in your room and I go in mine. I mean, that works to a point, but if we are going to solve the puzzle together, we better, because then it becomes like secret agent stuff. The women are talking about this. The men are talking about that. I don't say that we have to go into the details, every last one, but I think that our strategy should be coordinated, both the man and the woman, and then we are already on the same page. It's not good that we're doing it single, but that means if the woman is raising the child single, she already knows the general strategy because we have one continuous strategy, one coordinated strategy, both man and woman working in harmony. Thank you for the floor. Love your show.
Well, thank you so much, Shalimar. And no, you answered the question very well because I wanted your thoughts on it. We just gave out talking points now. If Angela wants to, are you there, Angela? So you can ask Shalimar those questions that you have.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that disconnect. I was on my computer, as you suggested, Avon. And I'm totally in disagreement with because my computer, most of the time, cut off or whatever, the internet. But anyway, so here's the thing. The reason why that was mentioned, and it's a lot in terms of giving tips to black men, giving tips to women, because it's a platform that says that the community looks the way it looks because of single mother. Okay? That's a platform that everyone is saying, and that, you know, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of black men are that the black woman has destroyed the community. So, okay, so if the black woman destroyed the community by raising these single, you know, children, raising fathers, what is the solution as we move forward until we do get the younger children together to mate and to mate healthy? So that was the question. That was that question. That was one of the questions for that. And I know that we have came up with strategies before, but what I mean by that, like, you know, some men say, you know, boys, you know, make sure they are into make sure they are in sport, or make sure, you know, their hygiene is together. They might have various solutions or ideas on to help assist with the raising of black boys. So that's what I mean by that.
I did answer. Okay, yeah. And sports are good. I taught for like 30 years in the system, and I still teach. In my community, sports and entertainment, which are fine and healthy, we're so much more than that. I found that the school system in whatever city, they push our physical self, but they don't push our mental self. And if you notice, the brain runs the body. So sports are great, but our academia has not been historically pushed, because I'm thinking that the thinker would be more of a help and a danger to an adversary than just the physical prowess, particularly in the technological world that we live in today. So the greater the thinker, the greater the potential for reformation. And on top of that, what supersedes the brain? I just got to throw out another. We've went away from our spiritual. The church was great. I'm not talking about any religion, but that spiritual fellowship is way more powerful than people give it credit for. Peace.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm gonna quote some stuff that from The Black Woman Guide to Understanding the Black Men, The Black Men by Cesaria Ali, right? She said she breaks down the reason why the black man cannot protect community is a number of things, including not willing to work with other men, okay? Not willing to pool their resources, okay? She said, like, pooling their resources and to form independent businesses, schools, and food distribution systems, right? Because we engage in, like, you know, we talked about cons of me and a couple of other men, that we are engaged in a basic nation within a nation. And she said there's certain institutions to be in place to be able to build a strong nation. She mentioned a military budget, which in a military, mostly material supplies, high-tech weapons, trained soldiers, food and medical care, a communication system, supportive allies, and, of course, education. So what do you feel about that? In addition to spirituality, what do you feel about that, Shalomon?
I don't want to hog the floor. Yeah, all of those things make perfect sense. Those are the basics for any nation, right? That's, if you look around at the nation, the self-governed nations have those ingredients. And yes, I do agree with that. Unfortunately, due to our, you know, taught and perhaps our own negative selves, with that's why I said the spiritual will allow that to flourish. But I, yeah, those things. So a good place to start is, I don't know whose phone. A good place to start is whatever aspect of those key components that some can address, whether it's the education, whether it's the military training, we're all gifted and skilled in various areas. A good starting point would be to provide the area to whatever body of people in the areas you can. We might have people that are good in business, but yes, we do have to work together. I assume, you know, pooling your resources is really simple as working together. And it starts at the first steps. You know, that's what I would think, but I don't claim to know it all. But yeah, all of those key are certainly key components to an autonomous, you know, nation. So we have work to do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. So thank you, Shalomar, but please hold, because we would like to come back to you at some point. So please hold, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Angela, you want to take the next caller?
Okay. It's the next caller. You hear me, Avon?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next caller will be 856-625-4171.
Just the last four digits. Last four digits. 4171.
I'm sorry. I'm going. Yes, I'm sorry. got me. I'm sorry.
Yes, last four digits, 4171.
Yeah, sorry about that. Tonight's topic is Black men, how are you showing up? We need you back home. So the last four digits are 4171. State your name and city and state that you are calling from.
Hello, we hear
hello?
You.
No, I'm hello, you on? Caller, you on? Okay, maybe they don't want to say anything now.
Okay, that was
okay.
The last four digits, 4171. Are you there? Okay, so we'll put them back on mute.
Okay, we're going to move on to last four digits, 0085. Caller with the last four digits, 0085. Please state your name and city and state.
4171 answered, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well,
oh,
we didn't
did?
Hear them come through. So we'll come. Well, we'll go back to 4171. Oh, but now, okay, but 0085, we have you here. So would you like to state your name and where you're calling from?
I'm just here to support. I'm just here for support and love and care. And I just want to say, you know, this is a beautiful topic. You know, this is your prayer warrior, Sheena. And
hello,
I just
want to
say, how amazing. Oh, man, this is a beautiful topic. And I really, really think that, you know, Black men, you know, they are strong. They are, you know, strong mentally and physically, and we do need them. So the best thing I can say is, yes, we do need to, you know, get their input on, you know, what they need us to do. And how can we, contribute to what they need us to do, you know? And I think that this is this topic is, amazing, amazing. So kudos to you guys for picking this topic. And it is important and it's imperative that we get some insight on it, you know, so that we know that how to aid our men and how to, you know, be by their side. But at the same time, you know, some things are unknown and we do need to get the insight on what we don't know. So, yeah. But I'm here to support you guys and I just wanted to make sure I showed up and loved on y'all.
Thank you so much,
Sheena.
We appreciate
you. Thank you,
Sheena. Yes. So continue to listen. And we feel that support. We love you. So you take care. Okay? Okay, so we want to go back to 4171. Want to do that? Okay. We're going to try it again. Call it with the last four digits, 4171. Are you there? Hello? We can't hear you.
Can you? Now, can you hear me now?
Okay, this is 4171?
Yes, it's 4171.
Okay,
yeah, this is Brother Brother Abdul from South Jersey, Linden Mall, New Jersey. One of the things I want to touch on first. Good evening to everybody. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's doing well.
Everyone is well.
Everyone's doing well.
That's good. One thing I wanted to touch on.
Before you go, forward, I would like to say I apologize for exposing your whole number out.
No,
I'm
that's
so
okay.
Sorry.
I mean, you know, I don't care who calls me. I can care less. It was okay. I mean, you could always use my whole number. I prefer to use the whole number. It doesn't matter to me, you know.
Okay,
anyway,
I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know.
Oh, yeah, I can care.
Yeah,
you know, I don't care who calls me. That's no problem. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on first was when you mentioned the thing about raising male children. When a woman got to raise a male child by herself, the first thing she should do as a mother is to teach him, that young child, of how women should be addressed, how they should be treated. That's what they should install in their kids, those values first before anything else comes about. Because a woman spends too much time trying to make up for the man that's not in his life at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where women fail at. you got to instill values in your son first by teaching him how women should be treated. That's the thing you got to put in his head. You know, that's the thing you got to insist on, because he got to grow and mature as a person, and he got to know how to handle females. You know, so how he can address them like he would address his mother and treat her the same way. That's the first thing. And the other thing is, a woman should never try to take the place of a man in a child's life. What you got to do is try to have him around positive male figures that can do that for her. Uncles, cousins, brothers, grandfathers, or whoever. You know, if you don't have the his father in his life, that's what you should do there. You know, and as far as, let me tell you something else you hit on, another subject now. When you talk about black men can't get jobs, that's basically their own fault. Because I'm going to tell you why. Black men use an excuse, I can't get a job, because they lack the education to have the training and knowledge to perform a certain position. So that's the reason why they can't get that job. So that saying that they can't get one is a cop-out. Education in this country is a must. You have to be educated to get anything in life. And if you don't, there's no way for you to go. Nobody wants to hire you because you don't know anything. You're not qualified for anything. So men that use that excuse, I can't get a job, it's lack of education. You know, so
let me
that's
ask you
basically
something.
Yes.
What do you think about what Elijah Muhammad said? He said, black brother, what does the white man teach you that will benefit you as an independent black people? He said, what do they teach you of decency and responsibility so that the decent morals people of the would respect you as an equal among them and receive you as a visitor to their country to have the freedom to be accepted into their moral to quality. And then she went on to the education, that the education cannot teach our boys how to be sufficient and has failed us. Basically, she summed it up that how it failed us. What do you think about that?
Well, I can't say that education failed anyone. No. I mean, you know, I'm just going, I hate to do this, but since he's on the phone, I'm going to use him as an example. Shalimar is a highly educated person. He's a brilliant man. And when I met him, okay, I'm speaking from emotion, so let me calm down for a minute. When I met him, it was a privilege to be in his company because I meet very few people on that level. Okay, so it was a thing for me to know somebody at that same level, and it was a privilege to know somebody like that. You know,
okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Education is the key to everything. You know, I hear this stuff about the white man's education, and you know, those same brothers that teach that stuff and preach that stuff, they lack the education they need. They blame the white man's system on something they can't do because they didn't try to do anything. They drop out of school. Okay, so when you go to fill out an employment application, you put down your qualifications. You don't have any. You didn't go to school for nothing. Did you train in a certain area? No. Well, what are you coming to us for a job? We're hiring certain type people. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, but you're going to get hired on the qualifications that you bring to this position. That's the way the world works. And that's what you got to teach your sons. They got to go to, number one, they have to go to college today or they will get nothing, zero. If you come out of high school as a high school grad, you're not qualified for nothing. All you did was go to school. You got to go to higher education in a certain field in order to get something in today's world. It was like that when I was a kid.
What do you think she said? Mm-hmm. What do you think, and I'm sorry to cut you, I just want to address this real quick,
right,
so we can go to another forum. She said
yeah.
in Cesario Ali's book, who was under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad,
yes.
She said the black men can't acknowledge that black boys need to be in a separate school to address their special needs because they will have to take a more active role in their educational process. About that they need special schools that address their needs based on racism and all that stuff. Okay.
You're always going to have racism, okay? But when you start separating the school system, then they're going to start separate the employment. Okay, you got to use common sense with this. What Elijah Muhammad said was totally 100% wrong. We don't need black schools, okay? We live under the white man's system, and we don't want to take money from each other. We're going to take it from the white man, okay? Our system cannot build and give us the compensation that we need. So we got to get it from those that have it, okay? And it's not a begging rule. No, it's what we qualified for. So we don't need black schools. No, that's foolishness. We need mixed education.
Okay, so you think that it's foolish? Okay, the chat. Now, I would like to acknowledge this. I don't know if A1 want to move on, but the chat did agree with you that that black women should stop taking responsibility for black men building the community. So they saying that you was right about that. So yay, kudos to Abdul, because last 2 weeks you got lit up in the chat, but now seem like you won up. They did say that it's not women that we shouldn't try to figure out all you guys' problems. That it is problems. That, you guys got to come together and try to figure it out because y'all the leader. You're supposed to be the leader. So that's one thing. So that was. That's what they said, that they found that to be correct on. And then another thing I have to ask you. So Elijah Muhammad is a very disciplined organization. Do you still think that he wasn't successful in that?
Well, he was successful in getting his point across. But that wasn't feasible because it was never feasible to separate the races on an educational level. Because once you do that, like I said before, you're going to separate them financially as well. So you can't have just black schools and just white schools and then just black employment and just white employment because the balance will never be there. Okay, that's a very foolish thing to even think that's possible. It's not possible. The government, number one, would never allow that. And it would be bad on the black community to try to ever do that, to seek black education for black people and separate themselves from the rest of the world. It don't work like that. The system, the world don't work like that. It would never work, especially in this country. It would never work. Education is to each individual what that person seeks to become or do in life. Some people they leave the corporate world and then they get into the educational system, become teachers, then principals and vice principals, whatever. Every person that wants to do that, they have to have the educational background behind them. Okay, so that's the first thing to teach your black sons is to get the education first. They have to get the education. They have to go to college. They have no choice. If you don't go to college, you're not qualified. That's simple. Nobody's going to take you because you're not qualified. You could just be a laborer, and that wears you down physically, mentally, and emotionally. They underpay you because they know you don't know anything. So they can pay you whatever they want if you want this job. So with education, it's always a stepping stone to higher wages. And then from education, you can always form your own businesses.
Okay.
And
I have the chat blowing up. Somebody to ask you about the 1911 burning of the, when the Rockefellers said that they wanted to turn society into employees and not thinkers. So you would be considered employee and not thinkers, like, you know, that we rebel against so they like people basically like you. So what would you say about that? This is what someone asked you. I'll ask you again. They said you about 1911 burning of the books when the Rockefellers said they wanted to turn society into employees and not thinkers.
Right. Well, that was always the government's intention when it comes to the black race. They always just wanted us to be employees and not thinkers of policy. They didn't want us to come up with ideas to make changes because they wanted us to accept whatever they wanted to come down and institute in our lives. That hasn't changed. You know what I mean? I mean, when you see black people rise in the media, on TV, or in the public, those are programmed people. Those are people that they selected to do that. Perfect example is like a Jay-Z guy. He's the guy that the industry chose that he's going to draft other black people under him into this their organization for their control. So everybody can't reach that pinnacle. Oprah Winfrey, the same thing. You know, they pick and select black people to do their bidding for them. That is to control the rest of them. To say that, hey, man, if I conform to this, I'll come up under like they did. You know, so no, when you think like an employee, you'll always just be one. And I've never thought of myself as an employee because every company I ever worked for, and I'm proud to say it, that I ran my own business out of that company's business themselves. I use their mainframe computers, as I do today, to run our business out of, so we ain't got to pay for no computer time. So you got to use the white man just like the white man uses you. You know what I mean? I mean, people got to always think of what's best for themselves, for their people, and for their families. But if you just want to get – okay.
Okay, so thank you for answering. I'm going to do it because I have the chat is going crazy. I have two people that want me to call them, so they can make comments live. But before we do, once again, the show tonight's show is about black men. How are you showing up? We need you back home. So this is not a show that women are just giving suggestions. We're looking at this from just to hear you guys' opinions and, you know, out of love. So better than we have the would like to Avon, is it all right to take the next caller?
Yes, let's take the next caller.
So you guys heard and a couple of other callers. We're going to take another caller with the last digits ended in 8365. Once again, the last digits ended in 85. And I would like to express, and I'm sure Avon feel the same way, is just be respectable. We only having conversations. This is a conversation. This is not war with each other. Just to hear different opinions and ideologies of how people feel and what it will take or what it could take. You know, just giving thoughts. There's nothing wrong with us just thinking, because I'm sure that we're not, you know, and we can't think or discuss it, even though there's people who trying to even hinder our free speech, okay? But in this platform, you know, we would like to bring certain issues out. So we heard from one person who said that it would take education, and another person said it would take our spiritual morals and values and stuff like that to be able to get get back in order. So I'm sorry if it seems distracted, but the chat is going crazy right now. All right, so here we go. A caller once again, 8365.
Peace and blessings. This is our brother Anthony calling. This is brother Anthony calling from the Bronx, New York.
With this topic, to me, and I'm going to continue to say this, if you discuss anything with black people and don't talk about black history or politics and put it in correct historical context, you're not even talking about nothing. It's a waste of time. When you start talking stupid stuff about there ain't no racism and, like, racism don't exist, everything goes out my ear. I don't hear nothing. I don't even know what the person is talking about. When you start acting like, you know, there's racism doesn't exist in this country. I don't even know I can't even have a discussion about it. A lot of black people do that, but that comes from they've been trained by the white man to do that because they tell you don't mention race because they want to get away with committing racism and murder and rape and the stuff they're doing in our people is ridiculous. So you can't even really have an honest conversation. That's not an honest conversation. That's a lie. It's a stupid conversation. That's an imaginary fantasy fake conversation.
Well,
everything
then
matters.
Well, then they're bringing
everything
it up. So
matters.
We're going to bring it to you. So you can speak on that. So we're going to allow you to speak on that. So you put it in the correct perspective, and we can go from
you
there.
You have to put it in historical perspective. That's why people who don't know black history from their own culture, not an Uncle Tom person who knows a few little snippets of black history and been educated by white people and use racist white talking points. They're black, but they sound like a white man talking. I don't want to hear the same thing a white man would tell me. Then you're a white man to me. If you're going to tell me the same thing a white man that Joe Biden is going to tell me, I don't need you to tell me the same. The white man say, go to school, do this. The reason why you niggas are stupid because you don't go to school. You don't go to my school. It's not a school. It's a racist school. All schools are racist. There is no, just no, you going to school and nobody don't bother you. That's not how it works. They shooting up people's schools. They're not teaching nothing in school anyway. So it's not an education that I don't even, it's almost blasphemy to call it an education. It's a training. It's the difference between being people, this is how you know people in the society are slow. The matter of fact, the people in the schools that with college degrees are the stupidest people I ever met. They're not brilliant or genius at all. They're the dumbest people. The most smartest people I see, people who haven't finished college or school.
Let me ask you this.
So I don't know what they're talking about. Because if you repeat what the racist white dominant society says, you're an idiot.
Okay, let me ask
That's
you
That's all
this
they
so
do is repeat what
your...
the white man says on TV, on Channel
Hello?
4 News every day.
Hello? Let me just ask
you
something. Someone asked, what is the practical way to go right now that we know that, you know, that the white man is controlling, we don't have no schools, et cetera, hospitals of our own. Where do we stand at now? What is the practical solution right now?
No, I mean, it's not one solution, but you can't talk about the solution until you're talking about the problem. Because I don't want to do the problem, and then some of the what people call the solutions is part of the problem. School is part of the problem, is destroying the black race. Integration destroyed. Martin Luther King even said that. You think I'm going to listen to any black person living now? I don't care who the hell they is, what college degrees, what money they got. I'm not listening to them over Martin Luther King or Elijah Muhammad.
Well, then the question is, so what is it that they said? What is the problem with that?
I'm gonna quote Martin Luther King word for word. I got the best of his quotes because I collect stuff like that. Martin Luther King said that I made a mistake. I quote, I integrated my people into a burning society. Can't say, you can Google it right now. I'm listening, and I shade to Martin Luther King, by the way, all the ancestors. That's who we stand, Elijah Muhammad. Not no new people who ain't never, probably in 50 lifetimes, are going to achieve what Elijah Muhammad achieved. Elijah Muhammad is greater than every white man who ever lived. Just Elijah Muhammad, all right? So I don't big up their people and the people that they tell me is great. I don't listen to that. I don't even listen to who white people or Uncle Tom black people tell me who they think is brilliant or smart, because they're usually wrong.
We need to hear how they're wrong. That's what we need to hear. So
what I'm saying, brilliant, when you say brilliant or smart, like the white man is not smart. The white man is ruling because this was his time to rule. To teach black people a lesson that I will take people with no melanin and the people who's weaker than you, because white people actually are weaker than us physically. Just black people have fell from grace. And that's part of the cycle of things. Things go in cycles. And white people are on their way out. So their school system is not popping. America's on its way down. It's not going up. America already reached its height. It's going down. Once you go up to your height, you're only going to go down after that.
Okay.
So I don't know what people live in a fantasy world about.
What do you think about Anthony, someone asked me, what do you think about, what is your opinion on the lost cause narrative? Like, there's a lost cause is a lost cause. What do you think about that narrative? And then I would like to make a statement, Avon, if you don't mind, based on what Cesare Ali said about that. But go ahead, Anthony.
What was the question again?
Someone asked me to ask you, what do you think about the lost cause narrative? Like, is lost cause, okay, let me just read what they say. Pretty simple. We must understand that it's a problem, okay? So there is a problem, right? We must understand. We have to refrain from a superficial way of thinking, and we also must eradicate individualism. They told me to ask his opinion on the lost cause.
Your phone is breaking up. The lost cause what?
Narrative. You know how you say it's a lost cause to bring black together. It never happened. It's a lost cause situation.
As far as the lost cause, nothing is never a lost cause. It's not a lost cause to me because I'm a prophet and God already showed me the whole black race is not making it. All the Uncle Tom and wicked black people are going to die, first of all. And they can't die soon enough. They're going to be put to death. They're not making it. So the righteous black people will rule the world and the galaxy and the universe. So so that's not talking about no regular people who's bigging up the devil 666, which is the white man's education, his military, the whole United States of America and Europe as a whole. Okay, so they're the 666. They ain't going nowhere. They're on their way down. And the black people who big up their system, they're on their way down with them. Because that's the only place you're going. You're on the tide. America, the whole United States of America, I'm using this as a metaphor, not literally. America is the Titanic, and it's sinking. The only question the whole entire black race is whether you're going to go down with them. It's already over with. Russia and China is going to shoot all their missiles over here, and everybody over here is going to die anyway, just like the movie Terminator. So, but the point is the righteous black people is not a lost cause. Now, the wicked is a lost cause, but not the righteous. So that's the answer to that question. And in terms of this, why we here now, because the future is now, black people, we got to do what we got to do. I'm going to quote another ancestor. I'm going to keep quoting them because we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors who built the bridge for us to get where we are today, who set the foundations of knowledge. Our people didn't listen to the ancestors. So they listened to the white man, so you get everything you deserve. Everything is white. White man's educated, white. First of all, I'm going to just say one historical thing that's incorrect. First of all, black people did way better, a billion times better than all these individual black celebrities that the white man paid money to so black people won't join militant organizations and build for themselves and be on some black revolutionary stuff. That's the point of all the celebrities and the educated. Though they're a distraction too. I don't pay no mind to them. And I'm not impressed with the me getting a pat on the back from white daddy here. White daddy is the white man, the system. I don't need the white man's approval for me to be a man. I'm already a man without their education. If black person don't go through school, they still a man. The white man, somebody else's education doesn't validate my manhood. So it's a lot of, you know, foolish stuff, man, just sucking at the power teeth thing, man. So people are bandwagoning. Okay, riding on the white man's education, his system, his army, his military, nothing. You're just a man that took over parts of the world because they really don't really rule the world, technically speaking. Otherwise, you would go in China and just conquer them, but you can't, and you won't.
Okay. We're gonna just switch back and forth, Abel, and if that's what you want to
do. If it's
prophecy, if it's that God is allowing it, why not be in alignment and look with ourselves rather than focus on the white man?
Wait, say it again.
Only. They saying that if you mentioned that about God, why not focus on our standards, morals, and values? And like they said, the gentleman said, I think they was talking about Shalimar, said, why not focus on our downfall and our resources, our and be in alignment, even with the system that is? I'm just trying to paraphrase it because it's so long.
Oh, okay. First of all, you need to focus on all these things at the same time. Another thing I'd be tired of people saying, one or the other. We need to do all that. We need education. We need a military. And to me, the military is more important than education. The white man took over strictly through military, and that's it. Strategizing military fighting. All right, and I don't want to depend on the United States, the New York City Police Department, or military army to protect me. All these dudes sitting around talking. If there's no military, this country would be conquered. So you depended on another race of people to protect you. So I people be sounding crazy to me, man. All right? Sometimes I wish they would invade this country and kill everybody over here. I'm tired of this stuff about depending on some other people to protect me. Black people need to get their own nation and protect themselves outside of white people or any other nation of people. Like China. China don't need nobody to come and rescue them.
Well, you know what?
You know, they don't need nobody to come
right.
and rescue them. They got their own army, their own military. That's
Anthony,
what black
but
people
you said
need.
Something. Hold on one second. I want to interrupt you for a second there. Now, these are things that we do need, and that is correct. We do not need to depend on someone else for our existence, and this is what this conversation is about. So we want to say, okay, we see what doesn't work, so we need to know what to do, what works, what do we need to do, what are some ideas, and what does it look like? That's what we need to hear now, and that's what this conversation is about. We know that we're not going to solve all the issues on this particular one show, but we need to know how to get it started and how to get it rolling, what we need to do as a people. We understand because, like you said, it's a multi-tier thing. It's not one thing that's going to do it, and you have to do several things at one time to address this issue here.
Right.
So this is what we say. Now, what's right? Well, hold on one second. So my question to you specifically is, you're talking about, the righteous will survive. Okay, first of all, you're saying the righteous. Who are the righteous, and what does it look like, and what does it mean to be righteous? Let's deal with that first. Let's talk about that.
Well, in terms of that, I don't know who they are. Only the Creator knows that. But the Most High is, and all the spiritual books have given us the blueprint of what the righteous looks like. All right? So, you know, like Christ told the man, don't cheat, don't steal. When he asked him, what do I need to do? He asked Jesus a specific question. He definitely answered it in detail. The rich guy, rich young black man, because the Jews are all black. And so all them people G was talking to was black people. The Romans was the bad guy, which is the same Roman Empire today, which is Satan. You can't make this stuff up, people. Like Kevin Samuels said on his radio show, you can't make it up. Who people bigging up the Roman Empire, the same people who crucified Jesus. Man, the death that toll is going to be on this place is insane. But anyway, as I was saying, because you being recorded by God, all of us. So when you say stupid stuff, everything you're going to have to give an account for that ignorant stuff you just said, man. People say a lot of ignoramus stuff, man. But the point is, the righteous is don't cheat, don't steal, honor your mother and father. Love God, the two greatest commandments. I mean, this can't get no quicker than this, like Jesus said. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your brother as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets.
That's true.
So that's the answer to that question. Can't get no better than that.
You
keep the basic Ten Commandments. I'm just saying, that's the if people did that, the world would, the whole planet would be a better place, but people don't want to listen to the Most High.
That's true. That's,
okay.
He's right there, 100%. 100%.
You see what I'm saying?
Hold,
so
hold,
that
hold
would
on.
Make the world,
hold,
that would,
on,
that would make
on.
The...
Greg, don't say... I have to introduce
okay.
you. I'm sorry.
So that would make the world, so that would make the, and people are going to listen, hold up, contrary to popular opinion, this whole planet is an experiment. You can get mad, we're being watched by higher beings that's a trillion times more powerful than Russia, China. I don't pay no attention to these people that's in power. This whole planet, they're being used by God. How about that? People live in a fantasy. You don't even know what's spiritually going on. What's spiritually going on is everything, is the end-all, be-all, is the solution to all your problems. But this government is just this whole planet, since it's been here, is an experiment. And if the humans on this whole planet, black or white, don't pass the test, God is going to pull the plug, like they try to show you in that new Avengers. Marvel be telling the truth, the comic book people, but it's based on mythology, and mythology, most of mythology is actually true. It's not no myth. They don't teach you that in school. Most of the stuff they teach you in school, they teach that myths are not real. All right? 99.9% of myths are real. It's not fake, not even a little bit. It's that humans forgot about that. They don't remember. The Africans in Africa don't even remember that stuff. All right? And the guy said in that book, you want to get some history in there? He didn't say all the extra stuff I'm saying because I know some of the metaphysical history behind this planet. He said, I know all of it, but I know some of it. But in the famous book, The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams, he said one of the biggest things is black people lost their memory, their identity. They don't remember. All right, so when humans lose their memory, those great feats and those giants that literally used to walk the earth become myths. Oh, it's just a myth. It ain't real. No, it's not. And the United States government know that none of them are myths. So in school, they brainwashing me and they brainwashing everybody because everybody is dumbed down. I mean, extremely, like everybody's on the kindergarten level. The fact that you think it's a myth, that's you on the kindergarten. Anybody who think the giants are not real and all that stuff, you on the kindergarten level. You can have a PhD, do brain. I still think you stupid on top of that. So you're not smart if you believe in what the government tell you. So I don't listen to that crap. These people is under mind control. And that's what this country does. It puts you on the hypnosis, man.
Anthony, I'm going to put you on hold right now. Thank you for your contributions, as always.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thank all the listeners for our contributions. I have someone on the line. Actually, they have called into my phone, and there's a couple of people is merged. They can't get into the phone line. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to merge them into my line as well as still have people in the chat. Greg, you can –
Hey, how you doing? Yeah,
I'm
here.
Go ahead. Yeah. So,
hey, Queen, how you doing? Peace, Queen. How you feeling?
Yes, and that's Avon. That's Avon.
Hey, Peace, Queen.
Hold on, Greg, for 1 minute. I just want to announce for those who's just listening to those who's trying to call into the show. Once again, the show is about black. Are you showing up? we need you black men. I mean, we need you back home. So it's discussing ways how to rebuild the black family. Okay, so you heard, Greg, you heard everything that's going on now. Some people say that we need to, you know, rebuild our schools, to have our own schools for our black boys, which was quoted from by Cesaria Ali in the book, The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding Man. Also, they said, a couple of, you know, men said it was racism, you know, that has stopped us. Some men saying that outside of this conversation tonight is black women, you know, have a response to. And then one man said that, you know, black men said that stop taking responsibilities for the black man. So some people say that we don't have an army. So what is it that you think that could, that we can do now to begin the process of rebuilding the black family?
All right, so from my personal opinion and from a lot of things that I just recently heard, and I'll just say that a lot of the people who I've just previously heard, you had a few good viewpoints, particularly some that came out of the last individual. He had a few viewpoints on some things pertaining to prophecy and things like that. Then, of course, you had the guy before him. He had one or two good viewpoints, but to me, he kind of went on a superficial thinking level, which kind of really don't work for us at this particular point right now. And a lot of these things are pointless. But now here's the thing. A lot of them did have there's a few elements of all of these things that kind of factor. From my personal point of view, I'm thinking right now, at this point right now, because this is the thing, our people need self-autonomy. We need to be a self-autonomous people. But at the end of the day, of course, this education system is going to go completely contrary to that. Okay, we must understand that. That's just the facts. That's what's happening right now. And the fact that actually our people are beginning to wake up to, you know, and, you know, this is one of the reasons why a whole bunch of things are beginning to happen. It's actually going to get worse than it gets better. It's going to get really bad. You know, again, for us to actually, first of all, we have to realize that there is a problem. And one of those biggest problems is that, you know, again, us as a demographic, we have no code of conduct. We have no structure. And if you don't have the reason why we don't have a structure as a demographic, because we don't have a code of conduct. And with no code of conduct, there can never be a community. So that's extremely important for us to understand first. That's the thing. So when it comes down to that right there, that's why a couple of days ago, me and you were really getting deep into history and things like that. You know, history is actually one of my favorite subjects. I was basically breaking down that, yes, you do have to, you definitely have to go and really comb history out. You know, you have to understand the significant difference of different categories and different things that happened in history. Like you had many different times in history, timelines in history is what I was looking for, to where you have to understand what's the significance of what's going on. You have to understand the pre-1600, the pre-first 50 years of the 1600s versus the post-1600s, the most influential individuals who actually even caused us to gravitate into this, what we call today progressive Christianity, which now is actually one of the biggest poisons that's actually inflicting our people today, which is the reason why there's right now what we're going through right now, all types of things that are going against us is getting a pass, and this is actually what's destroying us, and it's a serious problem. But and then again, like I said, there's just a lot of things right now in history. This pertaining to right now, the fact that we're not even focusing on self-autonomy, because we're focusing more on a diabolical social media platforms that actually pretty much really put us on. It's all fabricated, and what it simply does is just negates us towards what an instruction based on how we're supposed to be living our lives, and that's ridiculous.
Okay,
it should be
But no, I understand the things, and we can probably do that in another show. Just mention the problems. I mentioned the list of the problems, right?
Okay.
But right now, I think Avon want to move forward, and she likes this in terms of moving forward. What are some of the solutions? Like, where can
the solutions now? Okay, so the solution now is
the
solution
now, because reality is that we are faced in racism. We are faced with schools that don't cater to our, you know, children, black girls or black boys. And we are in a that, you know, men of no color have the power. Okay. But how do we still, you know, come up with value and morals and principles and still, you know, based on where we at, because it has been done. Mun Say Tung, he, you know, his country, he put his, you know, his people together. I mean, he was a leader, but he put his. So how do we do this? How do we come from one point, you know,
again, we have
from
to
there
realize
to
here? No, okay, good, right. So, we definitely.
And hold on, for Avon, and I'm sure that's the question, right? For the solutions, right?
Absolutely. What can we do now? What can we do now?
All right,
first of all, what men need to do? What do you think that
what men need to do? Again, us men actually, again, we need to realize that we definitely do have a problem amongst our black community. That's the first thing. We definitely have to also take an accountability the way we have actually scorned our beautiful black women between these past 30 to 35 years. The fact that hearing what we think is 2022, we're still calling women all kind of hoes and bees, which is complete asinine. That makes no sense. But at the end of the day, you have powerful people that are actually monopolizing and actually gaining financial power over this huge misconception of what's happening. And that's something that we definitely need to take accountability for. We need to change that narrative right there. And the only way we're going to begin to do that, we have to also hold accountable some of these conservative-minded athletes, some of these conservative-minded powerful so-called billionaires that we look up to and we patronize and glorify them for no particular reason at all. And what happens is that we have to realize that most of them, when they get acquired riches, and most of them came from our struggle, once they get to where they are, they go over the rainbow and they completely disregard us like as if we don't matter. And we need to hold them accountable. We need to, and this is the thing, we're not telling them to go take all their fortunes and give people money who don't even understand the significance of this financial system anyway. But we need to start holding them accountable, because actually some of them people hold the key to us helping us build what they call a self-autonomous community. And this is something that we're not focusing on. So instead of us getting ready for the next season of Power and the next season of Ghost Know These Ridiculous Stupid Shows that still actually propagate and cause us to believe that black men want to be gangsters and all these housewives and Atlanta shows that literally focus on nothing, absolutely nothing, a false narrative or fabricated narrative to where we're not learning anything from these elements. These are things where we need to start teaching our children that we need to refrain from those things like that at the end of the day, and this is something that we're not doing. You know, instead of
one thing, somebody just texted me that said that black men are literally afraid to stand up and be ready to fight for his freedom. That he is waiting for that men of no color is not going to give him reparations or apologize for anything.
Well,
what do you think about that?
First of all, when you even look at the whole situation of reparations itself, we're probably never going to even get that anyway, just due to the fact the reparations are coming in the next kingdom. It's not happening here. It's not going to happen in a kingdom that has kept you oppressed. And you got to understand the situation. We're still in a capitalist system that continues to oppress us till this very day. So that's proof is evident there. So basically, this is one of the reasons why right now, even coming towards the very end, where the door of opportunity, where us becoming self-autonomous is actually closing, this is one of the reasons why those of us who are now leveraging credit, leveraging things like the financial system and things like that, leveraging things like real estate, we need to now start beginning to focus on some of those elements, and then also hold accountable some of these gurus and them that are charging these ridiculous prices. They need to just bring our people into the fold, teach us this, you know, the information so we now can become self-autonomous. And this is, you know, so these are the things, these are certain secular elements that we should be focusing on. But again, like I said, again, from a spiritual, we definitely, and again, I'll just give you a quick, let's look at Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy 4 and 6, where it said, where God himself told his people, if thou hearken unto my voice, you know, and do what I say, I'll place you above high above the earth. One of the biggest problems with our people, due to the fact that we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, Hosea 4 and 6, Isaiah 1 and 3, the ox knoweth his crib, the ass knoweth his master, but Israel does not know who they are. They don't even consider who they are. This is one of the main reasons we fail to realize that we're still actually we're suffering from the sins of our father, and the reason why us as a demographic still to this very day are not really getting it together because we're actually disobedient to our Creator. It's one of the biggest problems that we have plaguing us as a people. That's a big problem right there.
Okay, let me ask you something. Okay, someone in the chat said that black men are not willing. Will it ultimately uh-huh. end? And black men in a civil war? And are they ready?
Right now, in today's society, right now, you do have a lot. Well, here's the thing. Why do you think right now, when you look at the Hebraic understanding and how we're waking up through this Hebraic understanding, and when you're looking at a lot of our brothers and sisters coming off the street are now gravitating to some of these big, powerful Israelite camps, they're beginning to grow in mass numbers. You got these Israelite camps that are anywhere from here all the way to West Africa. You got them in Europe. You even got them now in Germany. So you have these a lot of our people that are now beginning, because I truly believe that the Most High is waking his people up. The proof is evident there. If you can't see that, then I don't have nothing for you. But at the end of the day, that's definitely something that's happening right now. You can just see that because I've never in my life seen many of our people who are now leaving what they call a traditional Christian church. And this is the thing. I'm a believer in the scriptures. And I don't literally denounce what they call I denounce the false misconception of Christianity, which is now gravitated or transitioned down to what we call progressive Christianity. But when you look at the understanding of thus saith the Lord, and when you look at the original people who were first called Christians at Antioch in the New Testament, they were not dealing with the customs and characteristics of what we call Christianity today. It was a significant difference. So at the end of the day, if we even go back to those rules and apply those principles to who we are, it would actually work in our favor. But today, that's just not going to happen. So with that being said.
Okay, so basically, because uh-huh. someone said that, someone in the chat said that, unbelievable, no man answered the question.
Okay, so what
again.
Question did they answer? Ask them again.
What can we do now? They said
now?
Redirect you. Yeah, what can we do?
Okay, so first
to
of
get
all,
our people on cold. I would
okay,
think they
so,
were talking about to get our people on cold, like you were saying.
Yeah,
they
no,
was,
I understand.
Was talking
I
about,
understand.
You know, cold and
okay,
everything
so
like that.
Okay, so I think that person who's acting, they're looking for a secular answer. So if you want to go traditional and secular and you want to stay in that arena, we can work with that. So again, first of all, we need to revamp the minds of our young black generation. Right now, they're literally on the road to nowhere. From a secular perspective, at the end of the day, due to the fact that we've never learned things about group economics, we don't know things about what it takes for us to actually develop a code of conduct, okay, that actually builds a structure that brings forth a community, okay, from a secular viewpoint. Okay, these are things that we need to talk about. When you look at the last 35 years of us literally dragging the black woman's name in the dirt, calling all kind of hoes and bees, and that still reflects on what's going on today, that is a significant problem. If you want to go in the governmental arena or what you call political arena, okay, if you don't understand the significant difference between metropolitan forms of government, regional forms of government, and global forms of government, you shouldn't be talking about politics, okay? These are things that hurt us. Back in the 70s, when the young kids in the suburbs went to schools and high schools then, they were teaching them already how to utilize the credit system, and they were also teaching them how to write letters to Congress. We never had those opportunities, okay? So if you're going to talk about just going secular, okay, us right now, like for instance, if I was to ask that person right now, what is the significance of a grassroots organization, and what would be their purpose right now to help a poor black neighborhood? Can they answer the question? I'll give you another one. Like
okay.
when you look at, I'll give you one quick one, right? When you look at the way black people and when you look at every demographic that finds their way into a poor black neighborhood and make us victims of a financial capital drain, okay, and drain all of the money out of our hands, okay, because the black dollar doesn't bounce anywhere, okay, that becomes a problem. So now you ask yourself a question. When you look at your Hackball Macball on a street corner, and he has a bodega there, you ask yourself, is that a bodega, or is that a wholesaling, institution where all of your money goes into that particular organized institution, and then it goes back to their government, and then when it goes back to their government, this is how they come into the country, and within 2 years they have no citizenship, they become millionaires. We need to learn how to get around that. We need to actually talk about these particular things. I can even go deeper than that. We probably don't have
so
time.
So basically, Right. So basically, we're still working on the problems rather than the solution.
Absolutely.
Because
we're
somebody in the chat said problems. So basically, we're still working on the problems, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So.
Okay, let me
so
ask something.
Hold on one second.
Let me ask this.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to put this out here. Now, you mentioned the secular whatever, because basically this is going to be a two-pronged thing. You got to use both, and one will prove the other. So you have to, as above, so below. So you got to understand the practicality of these earthly things, because it will help to prove and get the understanding of the spiritual things,
right,
the higher things, and then and vice versa. So what we have to do, where I think where we need to start is, it's going to have to start back in the home. And before that, it starts with self. Because Angela and I go back and forth, and we have this conversation oftentimes. You prove yourself and learn who you are and sharpen yourself by how you interact with other people. But when you're interacting, so we got that going on. But at the same time, you have to do that self-work, because that's what we're talking about here. So we can understand, we need to get that thirst, whatever. So
we need to understand that we're disenfranchised as a demographic, because we're at a disadvantage due to the fact of all of the mental illness, the PSD, all of the things that have inflicted us for these past years. And again, like I said, the past 60 years, literally the past 60 years, remember, we just came out of Jim Crow back in 1956, 57. So at the end of the day, there's so many different things right now that really plague the black community. And the fact that we practice individualism, that is one of the biggest diabolical enemies that hurt us. The fact that we don't even have trust amongst each other as a demographic. We practice individualism. And due to the fact that we continue to be superficial thinkers, these are the biggest secular problems that we're facing as a literal demographic right now. I mean, that's without a shadow of a doubt. We have to understand that. And if you're if you're in a school now, and they're not even teaching you that, they're not even teaching you the fact of that. They're not teaching you the significance of self-autonomy. If they're not teaching you about, you know, superficial thinking, conservative-minded thinkers, if they're not teaching you none of these things, how in the world can you even depend on a system like this? So at the end of the day,
what
we do have is ourselves, and that's the truth. But now raises a bigger question. Again, the solution is, again, we need to understand no structure, no code of conduct, no community. And how can you build, how can you even think towards a self-autonomous mindset if you have neither one of those things right there in the play? If you don't even understand why you're even a poor demographic right now, understanding how every other demographic came in and made you victims of a capital drain. These are the answers that we should be answering instead of looking at Power, Ghost, and all these stupid shows that come on that literally negate how black people are supposed to be living and supposed to be. It actually gives us fabricated instruction on the way black people are still living. It should be no reason why when a black man and a black woman come together, they go into contentious problems due to the fact that, oh, I'm just tired of her and he ain't hitting it right. I'm going to go mess around with Toby around the corner because, oh, he's fine. That's ridiculous. These are the stupid things you see on these dumb shows. And these are the things that are happening still affecting us as black people today. That's stupid.
So
you know what I mean?
So who's gonna change that? It's not happening outside. Where is that going to
start? Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you how it's going to change. It's going to change when we hold accountable. Okay? The first ones we hold accountable are all about black billionaires that look like us that literally buy in, that literally get signed contracts and make big multi-million dollar checks to keep along that foolishness. And then also we got to go and attack white supremacy as a particular, as a 46 million, 46 to 50 million of us have to come together. We all have to go on one accord and realize these particular problems, because you have powerful white globalists that literally dictate this particular narrative that a lot of our superficial thinking, and I'll call them out, the Jays, the 50s, the Diddies, these are the dudes that are helping the Drays. These are some of the worst people in the world that we still uphold to this day. We got to hold them accountable because as individuals, they don't care. They're getting big checks. The Housewives of Atlanta, all those producers. You go behind them. These are the people. These are the organizations
that we need to hold
accountable. We need to shut them down.
Somebody in my chat.
Huh?
Somebody in my chat said question. They said to the host question, they waiting for black men are waiting for black women have babies, feed our families.
and go to war and save our community.
No, that is a flat-out lie. The black woman is, no, the black woman is already mighty and powerful because of her psychological power. Me as a black man will always come to the upholdment of the queen, black queens, and I know myself that black women themselves as individuals, they're three times advanced in the mind than black men, 100%. I know a lot of dudes are going to probably be like, that's crazy, but no, that's the truth. But at the end of the day, your guys hold your position of who you are already. At the end of the day, we actually, as black men, again, we need to understand the way we literally slandered and destroyed y'all and turned y'all to women's scorn because of that mentality that came out of Vietnam coming in with all of the drugs in the heroin era, transitioning into the crack era, and then also through eugenics. And then also you got to remember, even back in the 60s, you had all these political powers that literally did not help the civil rights movement help us. They literally
Hold on, Greg, hold on one second. Uh-huh. Okay, question. This is the thing. Okay, yes, all of that has happened, what have you. But the thing is all of these things until you know who you are. So I think that's where we need to start. That's one of the ways black men can help.
Who we are?
First of all, we need to know who we are and figure it out for ourselves.
Let me finish.
So you're saying, okay, all this knowledge and getting this and whatever, that's great. So now, black men, you got this knowledge or whatever. So you talk amongst each other. Y'all get that knowledge amongst each other. And then this has to be what to our children. We need that help to teach the children who they are. So look, we know the damage, but the people outside of ourselves, what's going on, and they will never, they're never going to sit down and help take their foot off our neck and give us that
right.
So
they're
we
not.
Have to do it ourselves. So how does that look?
That's
what
right.
our men are going to do to today, how can you help the family? You got to come back to the family.
They must realize that there's a problem. They got to realize there's a problem. Most of us are under this fabricated misconception that there's not a problem. And if you think that there, and again, because of all of the false narratives that has literally been instilled within our minds for the past maybe 10, 15, 20 years, that literally has been brainwashing us and controlling us into thinking that there's just no problem. What black people do is just black people issues, and that's that. That is one of the biggest problems right there. And the fact that it's so big, and again, due to the fact that we are literally destroyed for the lack of knowledge, you know, we definitely have to go back to our spirituality of calling upon our Creator and start doing things upon those principles. I mean, and again, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, you know, that we don't but at the end of the day, you must understand something. Sooner or later, somewhere down the line, you're going to pass into eternity. And guess what? Everything that we're doing right now, contrary to anything, when you pass into eternity, none of this will matter anymore. So at the end of the day, you do have a higher power. You have a purpose and a position in life today as people. And we need to also start calling upon our Creator and doing the right things. And that's something that we have been disconnected from. And again, like I said, we could go deeper into history. I can go and give you history. We can go to Egypt. We can go to 1600. We can go all over the place. And that's my favorite subject. So there's things that I can't even really touch the surface on right now, because there's a lot of mixed emotions going on, and I respect all of them and love them to that degree, because I know, and I would love to get back on this platform or even like talk to y'all in a live forum to where we can really get into the meat and gravy of some history, that things that you probably never even heard. And believe me when I tell you, I mean, that's just what I do, and I do it for the love of our people. But again, right now, let's realize that there's a problem. Let's realize that we gotta work on the code of conduct. Let's work on a black structure. Let's work on a community. And we have to come together. We got to begin to communicate. We got to get away from individualism. We got to get away from self-hatred, low self-esteem. These are some of the biggest hurtful things that are killing us from a secular viewpoint. And that's the things that we have to learn. We have to get out of it. We have to stop trap music. Hip-hop today is an abomination. That's no longer a culture. These are things that are still affecting our younger generation right now. And you still got powerful people, powerful organizations that we don't call out as a people, and we don't go after them, we don't call them down. And this is a big problem. This is a huge problem. It's what it is.
So I like that. So what you said, that is true. We need structure and a code of conduct.
Yes, we do.
So, 100%. Men, so
code
who's going to do that? How is that going to look? How does that look? How is that going to come
again,
together?
I'll give you a quick example. Every March 28th in this country, they have what they call a black commemoration, apology, what they call a United nation's apology commemoration where all nations come together, right, to literally apologize for all of the wrongdoings that they did for black people, all of us, from our slaves and everything, to everything they did to us moving forward to this day. The reason why they never tell black people these things, you know why they don't tell us that? Because at the end of the day, when we begin to understand that there are people out there from other demographics that realize the all of the necessary ills that they did to put us in the position where we are today, and that's why no congressman and on the 28th, none of them go to the United Nations. They ignore it. One of the biggest problems with our people today is what they call the process of collusion. Collusion means to take a truth and sweep it under the rug, know that there's a problem, and then just ignore it and act like it doesn't even exist. This is the reason why benign neglect was very prevalent in the 1960s into the 70s. This is why you had white high school dropouts that always went that actually superseded black men who actually had degrees. Because this is what it's all about, benign and neglect. And this is what they do. It still happens to this day.
All right. Let me, Greg, let me just take another caller that I've been waiting, you know, the other caller that I've been waiting.
Yeah,
You're on my line. Just hold on because
I'm
not going to click you up. Yeah, just hold on, okay?
I'm here, Queen.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to call her ending in 4171 again, and just to hear their thoughts and opinions of everything that's been said. For callers who are listening, before I call 4171 speak, I just want to announce that the show is Black Men. Tonight we're talking about black men. How are you showing up? We need you black back home. And we're discussing ways how to redirect the family.
You want me to respond now?
Yes, I want you to respond.
Okay. Yeah, well, as far as the black family is concerned, that's difficult. There is no one solution to everyone's problem, even as a controlled race of people. There's no one way out of this for black people.
He's correct.
Okay, and I don't believe in our lifetime we will ever see a way out of this.
It is
too far apart and too far destroyed for us to ever come together. See, we can't even come together yet. That's the whole thing. That's the first thing. In order to have a solution to a problem, that's the situation, you have to come together. And we can't do that. And I'll tell you why. You're always going to have individuals that feel they are the ones to be the leaders. Okay? They want to say that they have the knowledge. They have the ability to put people together. And they can't even get themselves together. Okay?
That's right. He's right.
Yeah, so you're always going to have those that speak the loudest that do the less. Okay, there will never be a leader of black people, no one person.
No, they never really never really was.
Right, it has to be several, but that'll never happen because black people,
100% correct,
as a race, are the only ones that do not stick together. Everybody else
100%.
Sticks together, but us. Okay, and there never be no one person that can put black people together. They made sure that. Let me tell you something. The last two in the history of this country was Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. They got rid of both of them because the government of this country was afraid that, hey, they're getting the minds of black people together to think for themselves, to want to do for themselves, and separate themselves from us. We got to stop that. So they killed both of them. Okay, so since then, if you looked around, there ain't been nobody else. You have Farrakhan talking, but Farrakhan is not a black man. Farrakhan's a white man.
No.
Y'all don't even know that. Okay?
No,
his father's white.
100%.
He's a white man.
He's a gatekeeper.
And he's controlled by them. Farrakhan now, you know, when he was in
That's right.
Yeah. He was in Philadelphia we hit him with this Scientology stuff, and he tried to make up all kind of excuses why he got involved with them and all. That's the white man's control right there.
And he got ties to the Archbishop of Chicago, and people don't even know it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's a sellout. Yeah, he's controlled by this.
Man, listen, I can tell you some things that'll get the men in black come knock on my door tonight.
I mean, so we don't have
my brother, you are touching the surface right now.
We don't have no true black leaders no more. I mean, that's gone.
No,
that's
right.
There is nobody up on the rise.
It's interesting that you said that, Abdul. In the Black Woman's Guide to Understanding Man by Zaria Ali, he said that black men tend to decide in or align themselves with the political dogma of strong black men who are now dead. Meaning that living in their allegiance, and we still live in a parables and slogans.
Yes.
And she said it seems the most enduring slogan captivated into popularity by Malcolm X during the 60s, which was periodically, as it is now, and by any means necessary.
Black men
say that by any means necessary means that they should fight for their freedom and get no matter what it takes. But they say that, but then other things, they don't do it. You understand? So she's saying that in this book, she's saying that black men talk, you know, they one of their talking points is, you know, living out the quote, and still saying, you know, Malcolm X is, instead of rising up to be the spirit and the solution of, that these men left behind.
Well, because those are the last.
I just wanted to say that because it's something that she said, she mentioned. So, I just want to get Shalamar on the line right now and just hear, and his extension is 9944, just to hear his, and then we're going to go back to Anthony as well, because we're running out of time. Wow, Avon.
Can I just add one thing real quick? Can I add one thing right quick, just real quick?
It has to be like 2 seconds, like 5 seconds.
It'll be real. Okay. The difference between what the brother just said, right, the very essential difference between the Malcolm X's and the Martin Luther King, those men literally fought an oppressive capitalist country that was literally oppressing us and deliberately kept us oppressed. The difference between all the leaders today, your billionaires and all these powerful people we're following today, they pose no threat to the capital system that continues to oppress until this day by agenda. That's the problem.
Right.
That's a big problem.
Absolutely right. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So thank you for your contribution, Avon.
Good summation, brother.
We really appreciate your contribution.
Yes, love you too. Love you both.
And all the men, thank you. The men really showed up. I really appreciate, and I appreciate the men that's in my life, the role in my life.
You know,
life,
I love
so
you,
thank you for that. Thank you, sir. thank you.
Yeah.
So
you know,
with that said, I'm sure that Avon is going to have a part two to this because it's, you know, it's brung out different ideologies, different
ideas.
And I think
that last
and
King, right,
you know,
that King said some potent stuff. Thank you, King. Appreciate you.
Right. Exactly. So, Avon, you want to show us again. Thank you guys for participating in Black Men. How are you showing up? We need you back home. Discussing ways to rebuild the black community. We really appreciate you guys, and thank you so much. Avon?
Yes, gratitude, brothers. Appreciate you showing up. And I love the balance. And I hope that you will show up again on our next shows and bring it.
I would love to display my history. I love it. Oh, Augustus, man, I'm glad. I thank God for you guys. There's nothing by coincidence. Y'all are here to put the Most High put y'all here for this purpose.
Thank you. Look,
I truly believe that.
Thank you.
Well, I am willing to do my part. It will be 2 weeks from today.
That is crazy.
King,
so
whatever your name is, King, I appreciate you, King. What's your name, brother? I appreciate you, King. For real.
Abdul, bro.
Abdul, I appreciate you, King. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You gave forth a lot of knowledge, brother.
Yes. So once again, Once again, I'm sorry to cut you guys, but once again, our shows is on Sunday, every other Sunday now. And we're trying to, you know, move towards YouTube. Avon is working on that now so we can have YouTube discussions as well and other people join in. So so with that said, peace and blessing.
Okay.
Stay
peace
up.
And blessings.
Stay positive.
Love you, fam.
Okay, we'll talk a little later, Ange.
Okay.
All right, later.
Good
later,
night.
Everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Peace and blessings. Shalom, family. Right.